Amen. All right, Darren Scott, I got to wait till I go live. Going to be in Mark chapter 5. There's echo in here. Did y'all notice that? Mark chapter 5, familiar verses for a lot of us. Title of the message this morning is three-week request. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And the Bible says, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they were come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it and told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again today. I pray you bless this message. Speak to our hearts today. I pray the one that may be here lost and not sure about their salvation, that today would be the day they call on your name, trust you for that, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a little gnat up here. I got to kill him because he's aggravating me. But the title of the message this morning is Three Requests. We see in this story there was three different forces at work. We see Satan, society, the Savior at work. We see the demons, they had a request. The local citizens had a request. And the formerly possessed man had a request. And I find it's amazing that that Jesus, the presence of Jesus, could cause so many different reactions among so many different groups of people. I don't believe it's any different today, by the way. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24 says, But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, which would be the Gentiles, the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So there we see three groups of people in the gospel there that are not in the gospel, but in the New Testament, three groups of people that reacted and react differently to Jesus. I was sharing with our Wednesday night group, there's a Jewish man I deal with here close by somewhat. He doesn't believe in Jesus. He does let me pray in Jesus' name, but said he doesn't believe in Jesus, and so I'm praying how I can deal with him. I've got some thoughts about it. I want to talk to him. I'm just praying God will open his heart up. You know, he doesn't have the same thought about Jesus that you and I have. And so I just want to look at this story this morning. This is a text I've preached on it before, for sure. I just want to look at this story from the points of the request that Jesus made, that was made by these three groups. Now, the very first request we see, number one, was request of the demons. There was request of the demons. And first thing that we see right there is that demon possession is a real thing. You know, a lot of people don't believe that would exist or does exist today. Listen, I'm going to tell you, after pastoring church for almost 23 years, that demon possession is a real thing. I've met a few people that I wasn't sure that they weren't possessed with the demon. And as a matter of fact, we can see that a person could be possessed by more than one demon at a time. Jesus asked the demons what their name was. He said, Legion. Legion could be up 5,000-6,000. And we know there was at least 2,000 in this case, because the 2,000 swine ran into the sea and were drowned. And so thousands, imagine being possessed by thousands of demons all at the same time. Stephanie said she had three different personalities, so she wanted to know which one we were talking to. But, you know, it could be thousands, Larry. It could be thousands. So you don't know about that. I'm not saying Stephanie's possessed by demons. Oh, Larry might, but I mean, I'm not saying that. Just kidding around with you there. But anyway, we see that, you know, it's a possibility there. And the Bible says that Satan goes up and down the earth, through the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And so, you know, I thought about Judas. You know, and what happens is it's possible with people that are demon possessed is that they first yield to sin, and then once they yield to sin, then of course the demons, then the doors open for the demons to enter in. And the Bible says that Satan himself, not demons, entered into Judas, and he went out, and it was night. I mean, he had already sinned, and so the door was open there with that possibility. And they came in, and they take control. We see in this man's life, and I think in another text, another gospel, there was two men, but it said that their lives, the demons take control of their lives, and they start losing everything. The Bible says that Satan wants to, as I already read or mentioned, that he wants to devour. He's seeking whom he may devour. And he took, and these demons went in, and he took everything. This man had lost his home. He had lost his family, if he had a family, lost his friends. He even lost his decency. The Bible says that he was running through the tombs naked. The Bible says that, you know, that he lost self-control. He was living like an animal. And the Bible says that he was cutting himself. He cut himself. He had lost his peace. And he had lost his purpose for living. And I can't help think when I was reading off that list of things that he lost because of demon possession, doesn't it parallel a lot of the world today? A lot of people that are living in the world today, they've lost their decency. They're running around half naked. They lost self-control. They're living like animals. They're cutting themselves. They don't have any peace. They don't have any purpose in life. What a parallel description of the world today. And man, I'm telling you, boy, the world needs Jesus just like that man right there needed Jesus. They need him to show up on the scene. And the society's answer to the problem was, well, let's bind him up with chains. That's what we do with a lot of people anyway. And bind him up with chains. It didn't work in this case because the guy just kept breaking the chains. And they couldn't do it, but they put him away. He was living out in the tombs. And I imagine that people were staying away from that area right there. But Jesus has another plan for people that are struggling in life and don't have their purpose, and the world's got a grip on them, and even Satan may have a grip on them. But, you know, we see in verse 6, and the demons, the Bible says in verse 6 of our text, it says, but when he saw Jesus, this was this demon-possessed man. Now, you got to remember that the demons are in charge, not the man. And it says, and he ran and worshiped him. Listen, that happened because the demons wanted it to happen, and they ran, and I'm going to tell you what, it's when you think about it, the demons are in control, but he ran and worshiped Jesus. They ran and fell. They knew who Jesus was. They even called him by his correct title. They talked to him. They called out. They want to know what he had to do with them. They knew that ultimately their end was near, and they crawled, and they went up, and they worshiped him, and they even prayed that instead of Jesus just casting them out into nothing, that he would allow them to go into those swine. So they had a prayer. You get it? I mean, they worshiped Jesus and they had a prayer, and that's telling me right there that everybody that shows up in churches today and is pretending to worship, it's not a real worship, and they got a prayer request that they're not saved. I mean, here was demons doing that very same thing. There was a fella near here. I try to talk to him about the Lord some, and he's one of them. I already knew from people that knew him. They said, look, the guy's a little bit touchy. He said, you know, you can't push on him any. You can't push. I'm telling you one thing. If I'm about to fall off off a cliff. If you got to push me back to get me off of it, do it. You know, if I'm about to step on a rattlesnake and you got to push me, push me. And somebody, well, I don't want to get pushed. I'm telling you what, you're about to drop off into a Christless hell and you don't want somebody to push you. But, you know, we hear those excuses. You don't have to push him. So I was trying to handle the guy, but I asked him about his relationship with the Lord. And he always answers me the same way. He said, well, I pray. I said, listen, man, I can show you a rich man in hell praying. And it isn't doing him any good. Right here, I can show you demons themselves praying, and it's not doing them any good. They prayed, they fell at Jesus' feet, and they're as lost as anybody's ever going to be, and they're never going to get saved. And I believe this church is full of people the same way, that are doing the same thing. And so the demons knew who was in control, and they knew more about Jesus being in control than the average church member, the average Christian today. They said they knew that they couldn't even enter into those pigs unless Jesus said it was okay. Unless they knew that he had to send them, or they weren't even going to be able to do that. And I tell you, the demons would just as soon destroy pigs if he can't destroy man. But another way of looking at it is this, is demons don't think any more of you than they do pigs. They put you on the same level as pigs right there. That's how Satan and his demons think about you. So we got a request from the demons that they knew that Jesus was on the scene. They knew something was about to change. They knew they weren't going to be able to stay in this man because Jesus said depart. And so they had a request that he would allow them to depart into these pigs. And then, of course, we see the pigs went down, fell off the cliff into the water. I used to always say when I preached that they committed suicide, you know, that. And a lot of people say it. But they fell off into the water. So they had a request there, though, of Jesus. An odd request. And so then we see the next thing that happened in verse 14. It says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city about what happened there and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So people come out to see it. And when they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion of demons sitting and clothed in his right mind, they were afraid. I'd have been more afraid of him when he wasn't in his right mind, when he was possessed by over 2,000 demons, maybe 2,000 demons. It said they were afraid. And it said, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray. Here's some more praying people. They began to pray him, Jesus, to depart out of their coast. Man, they didn't want Jesus around. Isn't this the craziest thing? I'm thinking, man alive, here's a guy. You know what? Demon possession was very prevalent then. They say, I was just studying, I read, that they say that the closer we get to the Lord coming back and tribulation, that demon possession again is going to become prevalent in the world. I believe it is. Is getting that way. And a lot of times we don't attribute that to the problem, but that could be the case. And I tell you, well, I'll give you a little side story. One time, I remember I won't mention any names, but when we had a group of men. How many of you went down to the men's prayer advance down to Gore? Anybody in here went to Gore? Randy, you went. I don't remember anybody else went. But we had a fellow that went on the bus, man, and all of a sudden this guy, I mean, he was kind of connected to the church, but, I mean, he got down there, and he got these headphones in his ears, and he got to pacing around. And he was walking around, and he just was going up and down, and they went out there, and Brother Richardson tried to talk to him, and some of them tried to talk to him, and the guy was just getting violent, getting agitated. He was listening to some kind of heavy metal stuff. I don't know what it was. And Brother Harold Vaughn went out there, and he got out there and went to talk to him. And he was saying, you guys call the cops. You're going to have to bring. They ended up having to call the police. But he said, you're going to have more than two or three and come down there. And Harold Vaughn, he told me later when I met with him, he said, I'm going to tell you what, demon possession right there. He said, I believe that's what it was, demon possession, man. I wouldn't doubt it. I didn't put it past, but it was a crazy scene, man. They were calling me on the phone. They were way down there. I think Gore's down there near Winchester, and I was up here when we had went to the one here. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on, man? I tell you, I don't think any of those guys win anymore. Just kidding, but I mean, it was bad. And so we see this. You'd think after this great miracle and a demon possession being what it was, that people would say, "Hey, listen, this is the guy that I want to be around. I mean, I want to be near this guy." This guy was sitting here. Here was this guy sitting there. He was whole. He's in his right mind. The Bible says even he was fully clothed. There's a good lesson for you right there. The closer you get to Jesus, the more clothes you're going to put on. And the farther away you get from him, the less you're going to have on. That's just the way it is in the world that we see today. But anyway, there was this request. And I tell you what, I believe right now, this is the truth. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about, you know, in Revelation, we're looking at that in the apostate church. And I believe this right here. If Jesus showed up at some churches today personally, If he showed up to the churches, he'd get the same request. He'd want them to leave. These people would want him to leave. I believe that with all my heart if he showed up in some of them. Because I tell you what, because when people realized, and them demons knew, when Jesus showed up on the scene that something was about to change. I mean, something's going to change in your life when Jesus Christ comes into it. There's no way around it. And something's going to change in your church when Jesus shows up in the church as well. I'll tell you what, all the other things, that people are afraid of it. That old familiar routine, not be convicted about anything. People don't want to have their boat rocked. They want to have the parameters of what they feel comfortable in. They don't want that to expand out to anything else. And people don't want to have a revival because they know that their priorities are absolutely going to have to change. They just want the quiet life. They just want everything to go along as always. You know, we see these people here, they are worried about business, man. They were more worried about them pigs that had run off into the sea than they were about this possessed man that was healed and had a demon taken out of his life. They were more concerned about making money. We see that in the world today. All the things that we talked about in Sunday school about the apostate church, this is what would happen or what we're living in today. So they don't want to detract from that. And the average Christian knows if Jesus shows up that there's some things they're going to have to give up. And I mean, that doesn't set well. They're going to have to give up some of them old vices. They're going to have to get rid of those pet sins. They're going to have to get rid of those lame excuses that they always use for everything that has to do with change or things that have to do with God. They're going to have to give up those ungodly habits, those ungodly styles, those ungodly fads. They know that if Jesus shows up, it's going to be different. I'm telling you what, if he does show up and change starts to happen, I'm going to tell you what, there's people that's going to say, listen, either Jesus, you got to depart or I got to depart. Amen? It's okay to say amen. They can't see your face on the web thing. Listen, it's a fact. I mean, they just know it. I've been in churches. I've been around, and I'm going to tell you what, we had the same experience a couple years ago. We had a revival of sorts that broke out, and I'm going to tell you what, it started in about March, and that thing went on, man. I mean, we went on way down into the summer, man. It was just a new deal, and there's people that didn't like it. There's people that just left. They quit coming, man, because all of a sudden it wasn't the routine, the mundane, the comfort zone changed because there was people praising God and people praying. And man, we were, you know, going up to people and praying with people in church. And oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like that. They didn't want to have any parts of that. And so it's different, you know. The Bible asks a question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit is it? I mean, there's, you know, people are so worried about they worry about their finances and the money and all the worldly things right there. You know, every now and then a wealthy man will pass away and they talk about how much the guy was worth. I mean, the guy's worth like this much money or this many $1 million and everything. But I'm going to tell you what, now that he's dead, how much is he worth? How much would you give for a dead body? He ain't worth a penny, man. He's not worth a cotton picking penny. And it's going to be the same way with us right there. We're not worth anything. What would you give in exchange for your own soul? I'm going to tell you what, you give everything. Everything that you ever made, everything that you could steal, everything that you could beg, everything that you could borrow, you give it all up in exchange for your own soul. I'll guarantee you that right there. But these people, they said, you know, Jesus, we want you to depart. They said, we don't like this. We don't like this healed man. We don't like those demons cast out. We need our money. We need our pigs. We need we went business as usual, and I mean literally heavily on the business right there. But you know what? Look what it says in verse 20. It says, and he departed. He granted their request. He said, you want me to leave? I'm leaving. I'll leave. I'm going to tell you, you know, what else could he do when you think about that? I mean, listen, he had come in there. He had cast out a legion of demons. He had cast out the legion of demons. This man was sitting clothed. I mean, what a evidence, what a witness right there. He's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. I mean, you know, he had proved his power, certainly should have been proven his deity. The demons worshiped him, even called him in the right names. They worshiped him and even prayed to him. And what else could Jesus do? And they still wanted him to depart. You know what? Listen, that's it. Well, all right, I'm leaving. Listen, you look in the Bible. Jesus didn't force himself on a single person. If they didn't want to hear, there was places that he even worked miracles, but it said he wouldn't commit himself to them because he knew all men. He knew their hearts. He knew that they weren't really committed to him. They just wanted to see something spectacular. That's it. He didn't commit to them. I mean, there's places, listen, Jesus didn't drag somebody by the collar and say, listen, brother, you're going to get saved or else, and shove them down and put them underwater and baptize them or what. No, he didn't make, listen, they just preach the gospel. You know, if I go see somebody, I like to share the gospel with them. They say, preacher, I don't want to hear it. All right, I'll go to the house and get a cheeseburger. Man, I don't want to say I don't care. I care that people are lost, but listen, I mean, I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming to get saved, man. If you want to hear the truth, and if you won't, I'll depart. In a lot of places, Jesus, when he was only on the earth walking for 3 years, 3.5 years, he was walking on the earth, a 3-year ministry, there was places, that woman, that Samaritan woman, he was only going through Samaria one time. I mean, that was the day. That was the day to get saved, because he wasn't coming back. Old Zacchaeus, he come down through there. He come down out of that sycamore. That was the day, buddy. He was on the way to the cross, and it wasn't going to be coming back and begging and pleading and pulling him to church, trying to get him saved. No, it was that day right there. I'm going to tell you what, there's places around here we've visited. Stanley said he's visited, and I've gone out in years, man. We went all over the place, and there's doors around here. I knocked on them one time. I had one slammed in my face and never went back. And next thing you know, that lady wound up dead. I mean, I didn't have nothing to do with it, but I'm just saying. Husband said she shot herself. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know what? There was the one time. I had the gospel message. I had the truth, and I took it out, and other people have too. And you don't go back and go back and go back. Somebody just keeps slamming the door in your face. You keep slamming the door in Jesus' face. I'm going to tell you what, he may not, and there's no guarantee he's going to come back more than one time. So they wouldn't listen. There was nothing else he can do. And listen, nothing society had done had worked. And then Jesus evidenced his power. They didn't want to hear it, so he departed. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a scary verse right there. He departed. God knocks on your door. God knocks on your heart's door. Huh? And you know what? One day, you might be sitting in church. You might be sitting in church and you still don't feel that knocking. I'll tell you what, I'd be so afraid. God speaks, God speaks, God speaks. And then one day, you know what? God's not speaking. Huh? God's not speaking. That's the way it's going to be one day. That's going to be a scary thought. Right there. You reject, refuse, and retreat, and Jesus departs. And then we see the third request. We see a request of the healed man. There's another little twist in this story of threes. It's kind of ironic that Jesus granted the request of the demons to go into the swine. Jesus granted the request of the citizens to depart out of their country. But when the healed man, look what it said. This man was healed. He said, in verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, this guy wanted to go along with Jesus. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, man, he wanted to go, but Jesus said no. He didn't grant that request. The answer on that one was no. And he answered the demons that gave him theirs, gave the citizens theirs, but this man, he said no. And verse 19, Jesus says to him, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Well, that begs the question, well, why? I wonder why he did that. Well, listen, think about this. You ever notice in this story we don't have this guy's name? We don't know his name. His name is he that had been possessed of the demons. That's his name. That's all we know about him. He that had been possessed of the demons. That's the only thing that we know. And I believe that name probably stuck with him the rest of his life. Everywhere he went, he's walking around. Everywhere he goes, somebody said, yeah, that's that guy that was possessed with all them demons right there, Jesus. Everywhere he went, that's that guy right there that was possessed with all the demons. Everybody kind of look at him maybe and, you know, they didn't want to do anything or get near him. They was probably afraid of him somewhere. But think about this. Everywhere that guy went, he was a standing testimony to Jesus Christ. To the power of Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went. I mean, it was the talk of the town. They didn't have text messages. They didn't have cell phones, but everybody yacked it up and they talked about it. Just think if they did, it would have been even a bigger story. Everywhere he went, they just said that. There he is. That's the guy that was possessed with demons. And people want to know about it. Maybe they want to talk. Hey, man, tell me about it. What was your life like before Jesus came on the scene? Oh, man, listen. I was cutting myself. I couldn't control myself. I was running around the tombs. I was possessed with, I was just running around naked, man. I was a wild man. I was breaking chains and nobody had nothing to do with me. I was out here by myself. I lost everything. But then Jesus came up and he just said, depart, and he cast them out. Man, I mean, he's got a whole story. He's got a testimony, in other words, that he can share with everybody in the world. And man, I tell you what, you know, you think about people in the Bible that had those testimonies, had stuff attached to their name. Remember old Simon? Simon the leper. Well, Simon wasn't a leper anymore, but they kept calling, it always referred to him as Simon the leper. He was a leper, but Jesus healed him. How about Rahab the harlot? Man, well, how'd you like to be tagged with that one, ladies? Rahab the harlot. I mean, but guess what? Rahab wasn't a harlot anymore, man. I mean, she met God with those men came and talked to her, man. There was other people. There was the man, he that was born blind. That one guy, he had that testimony, but he wasn't blind anymore. The man with the withered hand, but he didn't have a withered hand anymore. Everybody had the attachment of this problem that Jesus took care of. That woman who was a sinner, that they pointed out about that woman that was a sinner. Everybody, we all got that title, right? We all got that title with us. Every title that was attached to these people, it actually glorified God. Huh? I mean, it glorified God. Listen, man, this man didn't have any problems with being called he who was formerly possessed of the demons. Why? Because God was going to get the glory. That's okay. Got to get the glory about that. And so this is the reason why I believe Jesus said, listen, I don't want you to go with me. That's why God doesn't want us to just stick here. You know, we could, societies, they get monasteries and convents and things, and everybody's like, we're saved and we're going to huddle up and we'll build a wall all around this whole property right here. And we're going to live inside of here and peek out at the world. We don't want the world to come in, and we're not allowed to let the world, part of that, I get it. You know, but we don't want to let the world in, but they don't go out to the world. The world doesn't see anything. There's no witness. There's no testimony. And we stay in here. We're supposed to meet here at church, but buddy, when we go out the door, we're supposed to be a witness and a testimony. Well, I don't know what to tell them. You don't know what to tell them? Maybe Jesus hadn't done anything for you. Maybe you're not saved. What do you think that demon-possessed man, he who was formerly possessed with demons, he who had been possessed with the demon, what do the people want to know? Tell me about that. I mean, did he have something to say? Yeah. Did he go to soul winning class 101? No. Did he have a degree in theology of any type? No. All they wanted to know was, listen, tell me what happened to you. And he had a story to tell. And that's supposed to be us. If we're saved, we're born again, we got a story to tell. Huh? Go out there and tell somebody about that story. I don't think you ought to magnify your sin, but we certainly can use enough of it to say, listen, this is what God brought me out of. And so, you know what? They had that. That's why he didn't want the man to come with him. And he doesn't want us to just stay in here. And this is the only time we talk about Jesus. He wants us to go outside after we leave this. You know what you think about the Laodicean church? The Bible says the Laodicean church was a lukewarm church, lukewarm towards the things of God. Do you think this guy was a lukewarm man? Tell me about what happened. Well, you know, I was just possessed with a bunch of demons and stuff. Jesus just showed up and he said, depart. That's about all it was to. Huh? No, man. I mean, this guy was fired up about it. He was excited about what them demons had done. And so, what the demons had done. Not about what the demons had done. What Jesus had done. He was excited about that. He was excited in another way about what the demons had done, right? So Jesus wanted him to witness. Now, this man no doubt wanted to be with Jesus out of love. I think that we like, I mean, there's times when you really get in the presence of God and, you know, we like that time, right? There's a mountaintop experience, I guess, the best way. We've got a mountaintop, we're in the presence of God, we're in prayer. I mean, it's exciting, right? Well, the reality is it doesn't stay like that. We'd like to stay in that place right there. We like to stay right here. Boy, it's hard to, well, it's not hard, I guess, but it's harder. We don't get into sin when we're in church or try not to get into sin when we're in church. We're right around God's people. It's great. We got a good atmosphere here, but the reality is we got to go out in the world. We can't stay here all the time. And that's the same thing. He wanted to be with Jesus all the time, but really, man, listen, Jesus said, listen, I want you to go out. You know, being with Christ, that's a good thing. But I'll tell you what, being better is better than that is working for Christ. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus sent him. I'll tell you, his family needed him. His family needed him to lead them to Christ. If he had any children, they needed him to lead them to Christ and also be an example in the home. His friends needed him around wherever he lived to be a witness to them. And it's the same way for every single one of us. That's what our community, our families need is us that are saved to be a witness in where they are. And then working for Christ and being with him there's a thing that's the best. Working for him and being with him at the same time, that's the best time. And so You know, you think in the story about Martha and Mary, the Bible says Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and Martha was cumbered about with much serving. But I tell you what, both of them could have, Mary could have been serving and listening to Jesus, and Martha could have been listening to Jesus and serving. That would have been the best thing. They'd have been serving and listening at the same time. It's the same. And then here's another thing I thought about. I was thinking, if I was that guy, and Jesus, I'd been, I don't know how long he was a long time, he was in the tombs and possessed, and Jesus had came to the scene and he cast out the demons. And if I was him, you know, and I was thinking, what would be my big fear? What would be one of the fears? Well, I'll tell you what one of the big fears might be is that them demons is coming back. But I'm going to tell you, I looked and looked and looked. There's not a single case in the Bible when Jesus cast them out that they ever came back. Man, I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus cast them out and Jesus comes and dwells in, and today he dwells in our hearts, listen, there's no room for no demon in it. There's no demon coming in. When he casts them out, they're not coming back. Never a case in the Word of God. Jesus wanted this man to know something. Listen, I don't have to be there personally with you for you to have to worry about that. You go and live in the power of what has taken place in your life. And today, well, look at us. We got the gospel. We got the church. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, we got more than this guy ever had. And we don't have to worry about when we're trusting God and walking with him. You know, we don't have to worry about Satan and the demons coming in and taking control of our life. And that's what he wanted us to see. So we had three different responses to the presence of Jesus. You know, three different requests for Jesus. And you hear today and you hear the gospel message. You know, what would be your request to Jesus? You want him to depart? Or do you want to be with him? You can be with him. I'll tell you, the Bible says that when we trust him, the moment we trust him, that the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells in our heart. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the same power, the same person, God the Holy Spirit. You have God dwelling in your heart as a permanent possession. No room for Satan. Huh? No room for sin either when he's really there. We sin sometime. I'll tell you what, God cleans it up pretty quick. You can put your faith and trust in him, washed in the blood, buddy. I mean, I'm telling you, it's taken care of. If you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, listen, that's Jesus came to this earth for that purpose right there, so that you could be saved. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul will come and lead the invitation. If you need to be saved, you come up and get my attention. I know we're blessed in the sense that we have quite a few people that come to the service, that come to the altar. But most of them are saved, already trusted the Lord. They just want to pray, deal with the Lord. But if you're here and you're not sure, just get my attention. And I'll be happy to get down and pray with you, show you how you have to be saved by just putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 19, There is a Fountain, hymn number 19.